Mike, any comment on this checkpoint inhibitor dostarlimab that's not approved, TSR-042? You've seen some interesting things with this in endometrial cancer, and as Ursula was referring to, it's being studied up front in ovarian cancer. Any thoughts about it? You know, in the beginning, we were hearing all, you know, checkpoint inhibitors are created the same, so to speak. It just depends on who did the trial and when they, how they did the trial. But sometimes I get the feeling that some of these might be different. Any thoughts about this one, Mike?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head on that. For this particular anti-PD-1, there's always been some discussion about is it fundamentally different than other anti-PD-1s? And that's based upon two issues. First of all, it gets back to the dosing issue, which I was going to comment on before. This is a drug, and this is an anti-PD-1 for which it's given every 3 weeks for three doses, and then it's stretched out to 6 weeks and at a 1,000 milligrams. And so it's always been argued that this has an advantage because it hangs around and it can be given less frequently. Now that probably has disappeared. But the second issue, which I think is more substantive, if you look at the Garnet study, which is in endometrial cancer, we weren't terribly surprised at MSI high showing a 50% response rate because it's an anti-PD-1. We expected that. But in the microsatellite stable group, as a single agent, there was a 20% response rate, which was much higher than we expected. And if you look at the literature, most of the time as a single agent, the response rates are in single digits. So the argument has been perhaps this agent is fundamentally different. And if you talk to the company and talk to the experts, there's a lot of, you can't see my hands waving right now, but I'm waving my hands, that maybe this antibody penetrates the tumor better. Maybe it has a higher affinity, so on and so forth. So we don't really know, but it's it probably has legs for approval, and whether it's going to be better or not, we'll find out.
Yeah, that struck me also, the MS stable patients and the response rates there are being a little bit different. You know, another thing I've been hearing recently, Mike, not from a lot of people, and I think this comes from some meta-analysis, is the question of just anti-PD-1 versus PD-L1 agents. Mm. Mm-hmm. So first of all, can you explain what the difference is? And I've been hearing a couple of people starting to say there's some data that maybe PD-1 has more efficacy, more side effects, yeah. You know, slightly. Yeah. Do you buy into that?
Well, I mean, let's just look at the biology first. So everybody knows PD-1 is the receptor, and then it has two ligands, PD-L1 and PD-L2. Not a lot of data about PD-L2. PD-L1 is the major ligand. And so historically, when this whole field broke, you had antibodies that blocked the receptor, which is PD-1, and that should block everything. And then you've got neutralizing antibodies for PD-L1 selectively. And so it's always raised the issue, are they going to have the same effect? Are they going to be, and in particular, when you block the ligand PD-L1, does PD-L2 come running in and substitute it? I think that's probably not true. But I would agree that now we have large numbers of patients, some of the meta-analysis suggesting that anti-PD-1, the receptor, that therapy is more effective, but it's a trade-off. You also are getting slightly more autoimmune phenomena, which, of course, in some ways would make sense because it's having a bigger effect in terms of activating the T cells. Would that sway me one way or the other? Not now, not at all. And I'd have to see much more convincing data to support that.
So I want to actually move on in a second and let Dave talk about some of the new agents, but I did want to present one case in terms of ovarian cancer. So Ursula, this is a 74-year-old lady who was diagnosed in 2011. Can you talk about what happened to her? It looks like she went on a trial of PLD and pembrolizumab.
Yeah, so she's a really nice lady from, which wasn't, unfortunately she's passed away, but a really nice lady from New Hampshire, diagnosed in 2011 with advanced ovarian cancer, high-grade serous, and obviously went on to receive carbotax intravenously. Then she recurred 3 years later, had surgery, and received three cycles of intraperitoneal cisplatinum and IVIP paclitaxel. And then switched over to three cycles of carboplatin, paclitaxel, and outside hospital. 2 years later, she recurred and received single-agent carbo IV, but then showed platinum resistance pretty quickly. And she came to us and went on one of our clinical trials in 2017 with pegylated liposomal doxorubicin and pembrolizumab. And then I think, as somebody mentioned before, a lot of the IO trials give a kind of a hard line of 2 years of pembrolizumab. So per the trial, pembrolizumab was stopped. She had actually had a response and had been stable. And actually, you know, at the 2 year mark was sort of happy not coming back and forth from New Hampshire down to Boston. So she went back up to New Hampshire to receive, single agent doxal or liposomal doxorubicin alone.